Thanks for joining us for the Re-Up Men's Podcast with Tim Brown. I'm Brandon Porter. Tim will be along in just a moment. For more than a decade, Re-Up has been at work creating resources to disciple men like Jesus did, helping men grow in Christ and help others do the same. Check out our Bible studies for individuals or groups at reuppodcast.com. All right, Tim. So far in our time together, we've been talking about questions that we should be asking ourselves as men and how we live by his life. And we've talked about our problem, which is sin and the enemy that's trying to war against us. We've talked about that enemy. What are some things that maybe you've thought about since we've started this series that you know, something we need to know about this enemy?
Yeah. Back to the previous episode where I kind of talked a little bit about how I envision the imagery, the illustration, for lack of a better term, of how I think the enemy works by trying to really energize, bring back to life some of the old thoughts I used to have, some of the old habits I used to have, and try to use those to get me to kind of go down a road I don't want to go, doubt who I am, forget who I am, those kind of things. And I know we're really going to try to zero in here in a minute on kind of three ways that he goes about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Ask ourselves or remind ourselves all the time that I've got the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
That mind would not create that thought I just had.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be coming from somebody else that's warring against me and trying to fool me,
yeah,
and deceive me.
Yeah. So that talks about the reality of the battle. Also, as we walk through this, because we're going to get specific on some things in just a few minutes, but also just encourage guys to not do this alone.
Absolutely. I mean, that's back to one of the biggest lies the enemy wants us to believe is that, well, you're a man, you do this yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But that's so far from the truth. I mean, a real man does this battle and does life with other men.
Mm-hmm.
And again, some of these. So we talk about these three ways that we're tempted. It's so vital to have some guys around me to help me recognize when those things are going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, those three ways, that they come out of 1 John chapter 2, which is a book in the New Testament. So 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away with its evil desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." And so, Tim, that there is a play there between the words love and lust,
mm-hmm.
a play between love for God and love for the world. And then John shifts that over and he talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And he uses that word desires. I mean, kind of plays back and forth
right.
on those. I mean, that's significant, that God's desire. So let's just start there. God's desire is for us to not just acknowledge that he exists, but to be in a loving relationship with him.
Yeah, he's a pursuing God, and he's pursuing a relationship. And as we talked about, I think in the last episode, what he wants more than anything else from me is a relationship, for mm-hmm. me to enjoy him
yeah.
and have fellowship with him. And you know, sin kind of messes up our fellowship, not our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so he desires that more than anything else, is that relationship. And and believe it or not, I hear a lot of men say, well, you know, my little lustful thoughts or they're probably not that big a deal to God, because no, every one of them is.
Yeah.
I mean, because you are his.
Yeah.
And I don't care how small you might think that little temptation or desire, it's important to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we got to remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's hold on to that and unpack that again in just a minute. That's a great thought. Let's try to understand what these things are then that John is referring to here.
Yeah.
When he says the desires of the flesh.
Yeah.
So let's just start right there. What is the desires of the flesh?
Well, first off, we got to recognize as we look at this, we're going to see the word desire.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, wants. I don't. You want some. Those are all emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talked about a little bit, you know, the enemy wants to put energize old thoughts and patterns in your brain, send it to your mind, and get your emotions involved.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll do something.
Yeah.
And that's desire.
Yeah.
Lust. You know what I mean? Those are feelings. Those are desires. So, but really, this desire of the flesh is really wanting to satisfy only your needs,
mm-hmm.
Your wants.
Mm-hmm. That's
and, good. I think that again, that wouldn't be from the Father,
mm-hmm.
because the Father, not that he's selfish, but he wants your focus to be on the things that he desires,
yeah,
and the things that fulfill him because yeah. they fulfill you.
Yeah.
And so I think the desires of the flesh, when I really think through that, what Paul's talking about here is really trying to make it all about me,
mm-hmm.
which also is kind of the pride of life too, which
yeah.
we'll talk about. But I think that it's counterintuitive to what he wants from me. And as the example we used in one of the previous episodes was the opposite sex.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see them, that just that desire of the flesh, which also starts with the desire of your eyes. And so these all kind of work together.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you think about, so come at it from that way. And so to use the opposite sex example, it's not just that you would want that one woman to desire you. It's that you want all women to desire
right.
you.
Right.
As if they are putting you up on a pedestal
yes.
or on a throne.
Yeah.
And that ties into what you said a moment ago. I mean, we have to remember that God is creator. He is king. He is ruler over all things. And that goes back to the enemy. That,
yep.
That's what motivated Satan was to topple
yep.
him off of
yep.
that throne and to take it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love your example there about how we want all women to desire. I mean, Satan wanted to be in that position where everybody desired him
mm-hmm.
in a relationship with him, just like with God,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's the opposite of what God. I mean, God wants us to desire
mm-hmm.
the relationship with Him
mm-hmm.
above all else. And so, you know, I think it's interesting. The enemy, I think, he just kind of, if he can study God and go, okay, well, then I'm going to do the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he's come up with some really original ideas. He's just feeding off of what he knows is best.
Yeah,
that comes from God.
Yeah, and then it does kind of get a little bit more narrow. So the desires of the flesh being a big view.
Yes.
The lust of the eyes, the desires of the eyes being what's right in front of me right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that, wow, that can go into so many things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be the opposite sex, a person.
Mm-hmm.
But today, obviously, we live in a world where it's all about the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the desire, my eyes see, man, I'd like to have a car like that.
Yeah.
Or I'd like for us to live in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, or what. So it's now we're really getting down into people's real deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's, you know, again, the enemy uses that and goes, yeah, you know what? You need to have that car.
Yeah.
Even if you go in debt.
Yeah.
Heavily.
Yeah.
You need that car.
Yeah. Jealousy, envy, greed,
yeah.
all those things
yeah.
creep in.
Yeah.
And not only going in debt, but you know, if I could just get that promotion at work, then the salary would be increased. Or maybe I need to go take on another job, which maybe you do as you listen to this. But on the other hand, there can be folks who they don't own the boat. The boat owns them.
Absolutely.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, they take away time from their family.
Yeah.
They're not investing in what's primary and what's important in their lives.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think about my dad as a real example. You know, when I was a kid, he was a workaholic. My mom got really caught up in the in the desires of the eyes. I mean, she wanted us to have those things. And again, there's nothing wrong with striving to have more.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of what's the ripple effect of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, my dad was never home. He worked all the time. And unfortunately, the scary thing about all this we're talking about, too, is a lot of this is duplicatable.
Mm-hmm. Being generational.
Yeah, generational.
Yeah.
And, again, the enemy knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And so my brother and I, when we came out of the starting gate of our adulthood careers and all that, we were like my dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, it all came from the desires of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, wanting to be thought of a certain way, have the certain look. I call it the show, you mm-hmm. know, want to be in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, the enemy can, the number of marriages he's destroyed, the number of relationships between fathers and kids that he's destroyed using that tactic alone is mm-hmm. just is dramatic. Yeah. And I think we're seeing the effects of that now,
yeah.
the generational impact of that.
Yeah. And so as those things play out, then let's talk a bit about the pride of life. I mean, that's a broad category.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I sit here across from you today. I mean, my continual number one struggle in the role the Lord has kind of put me in is pride,
mm-hmm.
ego.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing that I constantly have to try to ask him to really keep in check,
mm-hmm.
that humility piece. And because, again, if the enemy can get us to think that we are somebody
mm-hmm.
as Jesus followers.
Yeah.
We have him in us. I mean, we are somebody.
Right.
We're God's people.
Mm-hmm.
But the enemy wants us to think that we're more than that.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the reason, in my personal opinion, I think that's one of the reasons he comes at us so hard,
mm-hmm.
is because of who he used to be.
Yeah.
And that got taken away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees us as being that.
Yeah.
Or have the opportunity to be that significant to God.
Yeah.
So he tries to use what he did, which was his pride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you read about him in Ezekiel and Isaiah and all that, I mean, pride is what destroyed him, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the main reason, in my opinion, again, I think God cast him out of heaven, because mm-hmm. he's like, I want that. I want to mm-hmm. be you.
Yeah.
And that comes from your pride, mm-hmm. from your ego.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, in just a minute, we're going to get into some tips, some scripture, some ways that you can battle against these things and to overcome them and resist them in your life.
Re-Up is a personal adventure into intimacy with Jesus Christ. It's more than a program to get men into church. Creating intentional structures with constant encouragement and focus, Re-Up aims to help men grow as disciples of Jesus, educating men in the Father, encouraging them as they pursue the Father, and empowering them as they grow in the Father. Alongside other men, Re-Up helps create a culture of expectation and accountability that gives you a foundation for a true disciple-making ministry in your church. Learn more at reupmen.com.
Tim, one of the phrases that Re-Up uses often is living by his life. That really begins to lay the framework for how to overcome what we talked about in the first part of this program. Let's talk about that for just a minute. What is it to live by his life?
Well, you'll learn in the study that when you get further over into some certain sections, you know, the Romans 6:6, Romans 6:11, 6:12, 6:13 is really a description of how that looks and plays out. You know, John talks about it in John 14 and 15. And, but, you know, as much as anything else, living by his life, I love this example is, let's say whatever we were talking about earlier, something, lust of the flesh or whatever. Mm-hmm. Lots of us pray, God, give me the strength to overcome this. Well, should it be that, or should it be, God, you that are in me,
mm-hmm.
you overcome this.
Yeah.
I give it to you.
Yeah.
Well, I think 90% of the time we pray the first deal.
Mm-hmm.
And when I don't have to have that transfer of power,
uh-huh.
because he's in me.
Yeah.
And he can do that. So, yeah, you go, well, okay, in theory, that sounds great to him. You're saying, okay, God, here, you just take it and go. Yeah. Well, we know it's not that easy.
Mm-hmm.
We got to kind of apply some things from Hebrews and like I said, the John 14, 15, the Romans 6, but it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to live by his life.
Yeah.
And he stands, not a better chance, the chance
mm-hmm.
to overcome those things mm-hmm. more so than me.
Yeah.
Trying to ask him to give me the strength.
Yeah.
No, again, he wants me to rest.
Uh-huh.
Hebrews 4:9, there's a Sabbath rest for the people. He wants me to rest in him
mm-hmm.
and let his invisible character and attributes come out of me and him deal with these things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, don't get me wrong. We are to be active in the deal, but the action to me is realizing who we are.
Yeah.
Turning it over to him.
Yeah.
And then that affects, as Paul talks about in Romans 6:13, down to the members of my body.
Yeah.
I can turn around and walk away from something.
Yeah.
I can not hit that button on my computer
mm-hmm.
when that pop-up comes up.
Yeah.
Because it's him doing it through me
yeah.
and living by his life. I mean, again, Jesus showed us that.
Yeah.
He talks about in John 14, he didn't live his own life.
Yeah.
He lived the Father's life.
Right.
And Jesus was at that time just a human. I mean, he was God, deity, but he was living in the flesh like we are.
Yeah.
And it had to be God in him.
Yeah.
To heal people and to do the things that Jesus did, it had to be the Father doing it.
Yeah. It makes me think about the engine in a car.
Yeah.
I can press the accelerator.
Yeah.
But I really have no
great
power or
great
authority
yeah.
to make that car go.
Yep.
And
yep.
if you've ever had a car to stall on the interstate and you're stomping that pedal,
yeah.
you know you have no power to make that car go.
Right.
The power is all coming from the engine.
No doubt.
And
no
Christ
doubt.
Is
That's a great
the
illustration.
Engine. And
yeah.
And so the prayer that you mentioned a moment ago is us requesting more power to overcome the temptation that's in our face, but the power comes from him.
Yeah.
And that's exactly
yeah.
what we mean when we say living by his life.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. One time I remember a conversation I had with a gentleman who was struggling with some things, and I said, you know, you realize the power that raised Jesus from the dead
mm-hmm.
is in you.
Mm.
Because Christ is in you, the
yeah.
hope of glory.
Yeah.
He was like, really? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could just see, the color came back in his face.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of set up a little. We have to realize that power's in us.
Yeah.
And he can do
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah. So there's a reason for hope and for joy
yeah.
and for encouragement.
Absolutely.
Even for confidence.
Yes.
You know, in him.
Absolutely.
Not in me, but
yeah,
in him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let's look at this passage in Hebrews 12. It talks about that. It talks about how he ran the race
yep.
and how we model that after him, but then also rely on him for the strength and power to do that. So why don't you read that for us, if you don't mind.
So therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses,
mm-hmm.
we don't have enough time for that. Mm-hmm. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. You paused there at the cloud of witnesses.
Mm.
Why did you do that?
Well, because the guys that we think of are kind of the heroes of the faith,
mm-hmm.
number one, their life in itself is encouragement,
mm-hmm.
because those were just ordinary guys, just like us.
Yeah.
I mean, their back hurt just like ours
mm-hmm.
does, and yeah, it was years ago, and God came on them. I mean, the Moses is the puzzle.
Yeah.
But those guys are that power, in
yeah.
my opinion, how God used them
yeah.
is a possibility
yeah,
for
absolutely.
Me. Because, again, I go to 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the earth to strongly support those whose hearts are completely his.
Mm-hmm.
So if I work backwards, if my heart's completely his, it says he'll strongly support. Well,
yeah.
what's that mean? Well, he'll do things like he did with this great cloud of witnesses
yeah.
through us.
Yeah.
And that just encourages me
absolutely.
So much. I
yeah.
love that. Yeah.
yeah, absolutely. And as we consider how the Lord was faithful to them, we are reminded that he will be faithful to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so this text then calls on us to lay aside every weight and sin, which closely or cling so closely. So talk about that a minute. How do we lay aside that weight and sin that, that is dragging us down?
I think about, have you ever seen somebody that maybe was going to climb a mountain or whatever, and they've got this backpack just stuffed, full of stuff. And you can see as they wear it, it's weighing them down. It's a struggle. It's sometimes it even though it they have it and want to use some of the things in it to get where they're going, some of those things really aren't going to help them that much.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to struggle because they're in that backpack, and it weighs them down. So my visual is he's wanting us to come to him and just, if you've ever carried a big backpack, you understand what I'm talking about, and you just take it off and you drop it, and all of a sudden you're just like, oh, I can stand up straight. The weight's been taken off of me. And so that's kind of my visual here.
Yeah.
But I also think it's that recognition that he is in us.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said a while ago, okay, God, I want you to do it through me.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to give me the strength to do it. You raise my kids up in the ways of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You deal with this temptation in my life. So again, I think it's just that, to me, the picture of that, taking that backpack off, bringing it around to the front and just laying it at his feet.
Yeah.
And you going, okay, yeah. I can breathe.
Yeah.
I can breathe.
Yeah. You know, when I'm carrying something heavy, I tend to look down.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah,
you know, you carry that weight. And so I look down and I grit my teeth and press forward. And then this passage, it talks about looking to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
When that weight comes off, your head tends to lift.
Yep. Yeah.
And so what you're saying makes complete sense with what we're reading here, because then when we look to Jesus, we realize that we have to let go. If you're going to focus on him, you've got to release the weight of sin and temptation.
Absolutely.
If you're going to truly follow him.
Yep.
And when you do that, then you are empowered to look to him and not only to live by his life, but also to remember his life and look to him as an example and an encouragement and motivation in moving forward.
No doubt. Which I think, you know, the next part of the verse here talks about run the race set before us with endurance. I don't know. Again, the visual is if I got that big backpack, I can't run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not very fast anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that would weigh me down,
mm-hmm.
where I can't really run this race with a focus and with my best opportunity.
Yeah.
So that visual of I take the weight off. Now I've laid it at his feet.
Yeah.
Now he and I can take hands. I'm not weighted down anymore because I'm looking up.
Yeah.
And now all I'm doing is just, I got hold of his hand.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I called my book God and a Man.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it wasn't me. I dropped it. Now I'm going to go run the race.
Yeah.
It was me taking his hand.
Yeah.
And him run. And I know he's going to be faster than me anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I like that. And that's where then it talks about endurance too.
Right.
It comes from him.
Yeah.
By holding that hand. It's almost like that transfer of power coming through his, from his heart to my heart.
Yeah.
And my spirit to his, from his spirit to my spirit. And it allows me to run with endurance.
Yeah.
And realize it's going to be okay because he's there. Even if we hit some bad curves or step in a pothole while we're running, we can make it through. We can endure.
Yeah, absolutely. And that power is the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
You were talking earlier about John 15 and John 16. John 14 is actually where Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit and about the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And so not only do we want that fire team of guys around us as we throw off these weights and as we follow after Christ, but truly to live by his life is to be Holy Spirit empowered in our daily living, which is Christ living in us.
Yeah. I mean, again, that passage, Christ in us, the hope of glory. I mean, there it is. It's him in us is the key to enduring things, overcoming things, having hope.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the other thing I think it does is that visual of holding on to him and, you know, looking to Jesus, him helping us endure and overcome, but also want to hold on to his hand. It's okay if I fall,
mm-hmm.
if I fail,
mm-hmm.
I've got freedom to fail because he's still there.
Mm-hmm.
He's still got hold of my hand. I may fall beside him, but he's still got me
mm-hmm.
and can help me get back up. And so that, you know, that looking to Jesus is the deal.
Yeah.
He that is in us.
Yeah.
We know is greater than he that's in the world.
You know, the New Testament book of Colossians says a great mystery has been revealed in how man can have peace with God through the forgiveness and mercy found in Jesus Christ. Even more, how Christ lives within those who follow him to strengthen them and empower them. As Tim said, men desperately need this hope and power. ReUp Men's Ministry wants to help you grow in it. At reuppodcast.com, you'll find resources for individuals and groups that help you grow in understanding God's desire for your life and how you can live by Christ's power at work in you. Again, find those at reuppodcast.com. Please subscribe to this podcast through your favorite platform. Your positive feedback does help us reach more men with these important teaching resources. Until next time, thanks for listening to the ReUp Men's Podcast with Tim Brown.